Tonight's Sunday Night Big Brother Recap is sponsored by Hubble Contact Lenses. Are you tired of overpaying for uncomfortable contact lenses? Are you overwearing contact lenses to save money? Just because the people in the Big Brother house can't see what Paul is doing doesn't mean that you have to deal with not having great eyesight and getting Hubble Contact Lenses. My mom is a contact lens wearer. She loves the Hubble Contact Lenses that we got for her. She says that they are just as comfortable as the more expensive contact lenses that she was wearing before. She doesn't even notice that she's wearing them. You could be wearing a fresh pair of contact lenses every single day for less. 60 contacts for $30. Do the math. It's a dollar a day. That's half the price of other brands. Go to HubbleContacts.com and get your first 2 weeks for free. Contacts are expensive because it's just a couple of companies that control 97% of the market until now. Hubble sells directly to you, so they can offer you contacts at half the price. Go to HubbleContacts.com, get your first 2 weeks of lenses for free. That's 15 pairs of lenses for free. You can't beat this deal. Hubble is offering our listeners 2 weeks of free contacts. Go to Hubble.com and get 20/20 vision for half the price. That's HubbleContacts.com. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's a guy who hasn't seen this many people taking a dive since Rio in 2016. I'm Rob Sestrino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Sunday night, Labor Day weekend. And it is another night of Big Brother, another night of people giving Paul exactly what he wants in new and unbelievable ways. But it should be a lot of fun to talk about it here tonight, because we have a great guest here with us. You can hear us, or you can hear her on the MTV Reality Podcast here on Reality TV Wrap Ups. Please welcome back to the show, Allie Lasher. Allie, how are you?
Rob, I'm really relieved to be here. I was worried. I've been, for the last 15 seconds, struggling with a bout of rough kneecap syndrome.
Yes.
So I'm glad to say I've conquered that and happy to be here.
Okay, better than sucking kneecap syndrome, which some people have on occasion. Not too much lately. Brent Wolgamott is here. Brent, how are you this weekend?
Doing great, Rob. Made it through my move. As you guys can tell, we have downsized from a large house to a slightly less large house, but it's still very roomy. I'm still unpacking. Can't find my hair dryer, but I'm here, and I'm ready to talk about this episode.
Okay. All right. Did you get the moving company to help you?
Yeah. Yes, I did, and it was a total fiasco, but we can talk about it later.
Okay. All right. Watch out for Nick Juhas.
My moving company actually made that moving company look pretty good.
Okay. Yeah.
I'll just tell you.
Well, hashtag RHAP. We'll take your questions along the way. And I thought we had a very fun show. We had this exact same lineup. I believe it was on a Thursday night during BB18. Allie, and I remember you famously had a picture of Paul printed out on your wall. You were a Paul super fan. And I would love to know the evolution of your Paul fandom in the last 365 days.
Yeah, I can't disappoint you, Rob, who is probably the only person that remembers that. So I came prepared tonight with an update. I will say I'm more of a fan of Gumpy than I am of Paul. I love that. I don't understand. I know everyone hates
Gumpy.
People are like, drag Gumpy. I love Gumpy. I think Gumpy is lit. I have all sorts of props tonight. But I think what's hard is that Paul, like you guys have all talked about, and Paul is better playing as an underdog in terms of likability, but I don't enjoy watching Paul this season as much, but I have to give it up to him. I mean, what we saw this whole season, but what we saw in this episode tonight was terrifying in terms of the control that Paul is able to leverage over these otherwise like semi-intelligent human beings.
I don't know about that. Okay.
But I'm just mean like in terms of like being humans. I don't know. I'm worried they're
all functioning
like
people, I believe. A couple things. One, I've been thinking a lot about Gumpy, and I think that the reasoning here, I think that Paul brought Gumpy into the mix because that Paul has so much control over these people. It's the most amount of idiots that have just followed a bearded guy anywhere he was going since Forrest Gump. Since Forrest Gump just ran across the country and everybody just followed him. Right. Hey, where are you going next? Where are you going next? That is exactly what this situation is. So it is very Gumpy. And two, I think I'm back to being all in on Paul because I can't root for any of these people anymore. They're too stupid and they are now horsing around and not even taking the game seriously anymore. Between Alex hiding, oh, I'm going to scare people. Let me think about where I'm going to hide next. Oh, and Jason is going to, okay, hey guys, I'm going to get an apple. That would be so stupid if I actually tried to go to the Tree of Temptation. I'm going to fall off the chair during the nomination ceremony. That they are too stupid for me to feel bad for them as underdogs, and I have to side with the person who is just lulling them into submission. Go, Paul.
Well, here's my issue with this whole thing is that, like, Paul has this fake reverence for the game when Cody refuses to give a speech or, you know, anything basically Jody did. But now all of his pawns are making a complete mockery of the game at a much higher level than that. And he's, like, totally okay with it because it's playing into his game. So the hypocrisy pisses me off. But yeah. Gumpy, whatever. I think Gumpy's, like, a good thing. So I'm pissed at Gumpy.
No, Gumpy is bad. And we had one Gumpy reference tonight, Allie, that Raven warned people to not take an apple. She said about the tree.
Raven, are you going to go for the tree? No, the tree is Gumpy.
Tree is Gumpy. Don't touch it. It's a Gumpy tree.
I just personally identify with being Gumpy, so I want to make it a positive.
Yeah. Yeah, tree is Gumpy. Will Christmas by the end of the season? I guess just like Forrest Gump, that he too was in a brace on his leg and he was able to win a running competition. So I think that there are many similarities, Brent.
Is it like a spin on Gimpy? Is it because she's Gimpy then everything else is Gumpy?
No, I think, I believe, and again, I think that what they're trying to do, because Forrest Gump was somebody who was, I believe, as they say in the movie, that he was like a simpleton, that he was a person with a low IQ, that Gumpy is bad, Brent.
Yeah, Gumpy is bad. Jessica famously called Josh Forrest Gump when she was giving her speech right before she was evicted. So that's where I believe that all started. Rob, I will totally agree with you about Paul. I have also been out on Paul, and I'm back in on Paul. And the reason is because he's really changed his attitude in the diary room. You know, I heard you say on a previous podcast that we both can't stand it when Paul is when Paul's the victim. Like, you know, I came in here with a massive target on my back and I have to fight every week and I have to play hard. No, I hate that Paul. That's terrible. Hashtag pissed. I like this Paul, where Paul is laughing at these dumbasses in the diary room at how stupid they are. These people are so dumb that they are literally following him every step of the way. I thought the whole episode was summed up perfectly by Alex when she's looking straight at the camera and she says, oh my God, that is so stupid for Kevin to listen to Paul. He's going to get himself evicted this week by listening to Paul.
Oh, I've got the clip, Brent. Here it is.
I can't believe that Kevin was dumb enough to throw this competition because Paul asked him to. He literally is going to get himself out of the game this week because he trusted Paul.
That's called irony.
She's the worst. I will also hold the place for Christmas and Josh. I don't think that they are as bad as these other offenders in the house, like Matt and Raven.
I can't believe that Kevin was dumb enough.
Stop it, Alex. The other thing that I think that at least that Christmas and Josh are operating on a higher level than.
Are they? Because they're the only. Yes, it's true that they are. That it seems like they are. But it seems like it's a little results oriented. Like, we know that Paul's true final three is with Josh and Christmas. But he's also been telling everybody else, "I'm your final three." So it seems like we're giving Josh and Christmas credit for the fact that they just happen to be the ones that he's telling the truth to, even though they've given him all the power in the world.
Yeah, Allie, what do you think?
I completely agree with Brent. I think if Paul was being honest and going to the end with Jason and Alex, we would be saying, oh, there's like a sliver of hope for Jason and Alex. I think I have more faith in Josh. I think Puya called Josh woke. And I think he's like, there's a little bit more hope for Josh than Christmas. I think Christmas is still just eating Paul slop.
Yep. At least they're right, though. At least they're like, okay, well, at least that they are the favorite of the three pairs. So I have to give them the benefit of the doubt, and at least that they are not like putting their head like on the guillotine so Paul can lop it off yet.
But aren't they just the favorite of the three pairs because they have the least athletic ability in the competition? So it's not even like that was a choice. Josh just isn't athletic and Christmas got injured. So I don't even think they strategically placed themselves, besides maybe linking up with each other, in a position to have any advantage in the game.
Yeah. Whitney in the chat room says, Rob, don't even. They are all Gumpy. So, okay. So I stand corrected.
But Gumpy.
I do think we need to talk about this HOH competition, because that I do believe that this was unprecedented. And I feel like that this is something that we will talk about for years in terms of, remember that time that Paul made everybody throw the competition like in the order that he wanted them to. That's how much control that he had at that point. Even the announcer was trying to set us up for this historic night that we were going to see.
A critical head of household is on the line, and it will be unlike anything you've ever seen before.
You are not messing around, Mr. Announcer Man. It was unlike anything we ever saw before.
I could really do, though, with the fake, importance. Josh is in the diary room going, this HOH is crucial. No, bitch, it's not. It's not crucial at all. Like, no matter who wins HOH, you're not being targeted. It means absolutely nothing. Oh, I couldn't stand it, Rob. Yeah. I really couldn't.
Now, all of us knew how this was going to play out. I'm actually interested to know if there's anybody in the chat who did not know the results ahead of time, who was watching this play out, because I kind of think that it was probably mesmerizing in terms of just watching how Paul was able to pull this off. I mean, he's basically like a magician at this point in time, Allie.
Yeah, I mean, I knew that Paul basically was going to happen, but I didn't really know how Paul, because I don't watch the feed, so I was just reading sort of updates. I didn't know how Paul was going to be able to accomplish this. So it was crazy. I think it's sort of what baffles my mind is A, that he's kind of right when he talks to Josh and Christmas, that they do need Paul to get to the end. So I think his argument was, if I'm the one who takes the shot, then they will take a shot at me next week and I won't be able to be with you next week to pull you to the end, which I do think is actually true, which is just sad for Josh and Christmas to be in that position. But what I can't understand is how Paul is able to do these lies and make these plans no matter who is in the room. So the scene on the episode where Josh was in the room with Jason and Alex and Paul, isn't Josh at all like alerted to the fact that Paul is so convincing in these lies that maybe he's lying to me also?
Brent, do you want to feel that?
I mean, there have been moments of clarity for Josh, but the problem is that anytime he throws out a few seeds, that they don't have any place to grow, because the only person who is a sounding board for him is basically Paul or Christmas, and Christmas is not having it. I mean, it was summed up, and this is not spoiler territory, but Josh previously this week was saying things like, I'm not sure about this. Paul seems like he's covering all his bases, and Christmas is like, don't say that. Like, I don't want anybody to hear us. Like, as in, like, somebody, it might get back to Paul and it might blow up our spot. That's how much that even people who are in his alliance fear Paul. They just don't want him to have any doubts that they are all in at this point. So he's a little bit woke, but I would not call him like woke with a capital W like Puya does any day.
Yeah. I just feel like that with Christmas and Josh getting back to them, that I kind of see their point in terms of like their best course of action. It would getting Paul out this week, like for Christmas to take a shot at Paul this week, would that be a good idea for her in any way? Because Paul is a number for her and Josh. And sure, that ideally you want to see them take Paul out of the game, but I just don't think that that would be a sound decision for them ultimately getting to the final two to take out Paul at this point in time. And then if Josh doesn't win the HOH, Paul is gone, that one of them is definitely going home the next round.
Yeah, I can take your point, but it just seems like they are getting to the right decision for the wrong reasons. And they don't know for sure that Paul is telling them the truth. They just happen to be guessing that he is actually the one who they are faithful to and who Paul is faithful to himself.
Yeah, but I think that they're teetering into ground where if Paul does then do something that is clearly not in their best interest and tries to convince them, I do think that that is the pair that is most likely to say, wait, hold on a second. Why are we doing this? Why is this happening? No, I don't get it. Explain it again. Why are we doing this?
Right. So they're not going to be like Kevin where, you know, he asks a few questions and Paul's answer is, trust me, just trust me. Have a little faith, dude. Trust me. If I heard anybody say, Brent, trust me on Big Brother, my antenna would immediately go up. Like, I've heard this somewhere before, and I remember how incredulous I was when I watched it the first time on this season of Big Brother.
Yeah. Back when Kevin was being told to throw the competition, that Paul was telling Kevin that Alex was going to throw the competition, and Kevin was like, yeah, but why? Why is she going to do that? And Paul just says, oh, you think she wants to get more blood on her hands? You think she wants to keep winning stuff? Of course not. Trust me. Trust me, buddy.
Yeah. Trust me. Trust me, everybody. It was, I have to say, it was sort of interesting. I was actually under the assumption, listening to the spoilers, that Alex had waited for Raven to go out. Because I kind of thought, like, you would want to wait for Raven to go out if you're going to throw a competition, seeing as how you at least are, you know, ride or die with the guy who just took your showmance out the previous week. But somehow she felt totally comfortable throwing the competition with Raven still up there, which I thought was kind of crazy.
Yeah. I mean, the real kookiest part of this whole plan, as far as Alex and Jason are concerned, and I think that Jason even said it in the episode tonight of, like, wait, why do we have to backdoor Kevin? I mean, that, what was Kevin going to do that you had to? I know that on this season, you have to backdoor everybody. You can't just put somebody on the block from the start of the week. Everybody has to be backdoored, according to Big Brother 19. But Allie, right. I mean, why the reason to back? Oh, you know, we don't want to make him upset. We don't want to get him on the warpath for 6 days.
This was crazy. The way that Alex spoke about him was like they had to put him down. You know, like it was just like the saddest way to talk about a person. They're like, oh, like let's backdoor him so we keep him calm. We keep him calm. I just think these people forgot really what show they're on and how to play. They're playing Paul's game, you know, Big Paul or whatever. And I also think to a certain extent, like Kevin is a bit of a liability in terms of, I mean, what was crazy is the only reason he was going to not throw the competition is because he didn't want to be seen losing to a girl on crutches, which was just ridiculous.
I can't. Well, I can't go back home if I lose to a girl on crutches.
The thing was, he didn't want to be a have-not. He didn't want to be a have-not, and he knew if he finished last in the HOH competition again, he was probably going to be a have-not again, and he can't stand being on slop just like he was the previous week. So that's part of the reason, again, I think he was using the whole I don't want to be finished behind a girl who's on crutches as cover story for the fact that he was really just concerned about getting to eat.
That makes more sense. I just think Alex is completely overplaying, and she's not a good player, so she's just overplaying her way. I mean, to borrow from Josh, you played yourself. I mean, that is going to be the moral of Alex's game.
Yourself.
Excuse me, I wanted to say something really quickly about Jason. When he was talking about the tree and he was laughing, saying, you know what, I don't want to paint a target on my back. I'm like, dude, take a look in the effing mirror. I mean, you are the one guy on the season who has consistently been able to beat other people in athletic competitions. Paul is the only other athletic guy left in the cast right now. And to top it all off, you're expecting a baby and you're a generally cool guy who everybody seems to like. How can you not see that you are the biggest target in the game? I mean, I guess to his credit, he does does see it a little bit, but it's the same problem with Josh, that he doesn't have a good sounding board. He goes to Alex. He wants to talk about it. Alex is a complete doofus and says, dude, we're totally fine. And so he's like, okay, dude, we're totally fine. There's just nowhere for these seeds to grow.
I want to go back to Kevin because I'm concerned about him. I believe that Kevin is no longer a color that a human being should be. That he is now, I am very concerned about him, that he has this sunburn, which he's like maroon now, Allie. I don't believe that this is healthy anymore.
I mean, I think he looks like Kramer in the butter shave, honestly. So maybe he's been buttering with his toothbrush. I don't know. Like, I agree. Like, Kevin is not well. Kevin is not the fun Kevin we've seen that I loved over the first, I don't know, it's day 72, so 40 days of Big Brother.
What's
How
going
long have
on,
you been
Paul?
Doing this?
It's awfully hot in here for a penguin. I don't know. Paul, you've had too much sun. You've been outside too long. You need to get in the house.
I am concerned about Kevin, too, but I'm also concerned about his emotional well-being because he doesn't seem to be doing great right now. On the other hand, I feel like Kevin sort of wants to have it both ways, where he wants to open up his mouth and tell people what he thinks is the plan. Like, you saw him walking with Jason, and he's like, so what do you think's going on? Like, he can't help but want to tell him what the real plan is, because Kevin basically knows at this point in the story what the real plan is. But then when he gets, you know, when people hear that he's messing up their plans and opening up his big mouth, then, you know, we all want to feel bad for him, but we can't feel bad for him because he's the one who opened up his mouth in the first place.
But what
Rob.
Is he supposed to do? He can't talk to anybody?
Well, I mean, he's got to figure out a way to be able to talk to anybody without other people finding out about it. Paul's able to do it.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. I just feel like, he's damned if he does, damned if he doesn't. He can't say anything to anybody. But then he sort of why doesn't anybody do anything? And then as soon as he tries to do anything, everybody gets mad at him.
I think Kevin's been on the decline since he was crying in the freezer. I think ever since then, that's been sort of like his...
He wasn't crying in the freezer, Allie. That the guy has second-degree burns all over his body. He's trying to fix himself. Man.
There's no aloe in the freezer. I think... I don't know. I'm kind of concerned that Kevin might self-evict from jury at this point if he gets to the jury house. I think he's probably the least cut out for the jury house of anyone.
That's possible. That he, I mean, somehow they managed to keep Cody there, so I don't know if they have some experts there that keep people locked into this jury house. Just to go through just the order of what Paul pulled off tonight. So he wanted Christmas or Josh to take the shot at the pair of Jason and Alex. So the first thing he needed to do was convince Alex to throw this HOH. She said she would only do it if Kevin through the HOH. So then he had to go and convince Kevin to throw this HOH. I mean, this is like the plot of some contrived sitcom, Allie.
Yeah, I mean, this is like it's almost like the thing on Big Brother where you always see like the person desperate to try to stay and they'll say, oh, if you can convince those three people to do it, I'll do it. And that obviously is never going to happen, except only in this season would Paul be able to pull something like this off.
Yeah. Then he has to go and convince Raven to do it. And Raven is also all too happy to screw over Jason and Alex because that she wants to get her vendetta for them screwing over Matt last week. Brent, we all said that this plan was so crazy that Paul was trying to pull off, but it really seems to have been, the whole thing has worked without a hitch of getting everybody to be firing at everybody else.
It really has. It's masterful work. That's why I said I agree with you that I'm all in, that everybody else at this point, until I see some evidence to the contrary, is just too stupid to root for. I cannot root for anybody else at this point except for Paul because he's the only one who's really playing the game. Everybody else is just following his lead. They're saying things like, well, Paul, we don't want you to go up on the block. We'll do it for you. Like, I mean, that's actually taking place this season. I'm liking Matt territory.
A couple times saying at Christmas, like, oh, well, I'll go up on the block as a pawn. I guess it's my turn this week. I know the house won't vote me out if I'm next to Kevin.
That's her pettiness, though, Allie, is when, because she wants to be on the block next to Kevin. This is when they were only going to use one pawn. Of course, it evolved later into two pawns. But at the time, it was one pawn. And she wanted to sit right up on the block with Kevin because she's that effing comfortable. Like, she just does not see. Like, you know, Allie, I want to hear you. Please tell me that you have heard Alex talk about friendship. Like, it's like, Paul's all about friendship, dude. Like, I mean, like, last season was all about friendship. He's not going to screw us over. Please rant for me about Alex.
Look, from one petty person to another with Alex, like, I would like to be able to sympathize with her. I could see that's the issue with Big Brother. Rob often says, like, Big Brother is, like, who people actually are and Survivor's who you want to be or something like that, right?
Right.
Big Brother is like, if I, God forbid, was ever on Big Brother, I, you know, whatever. But I'm not. I'm in the comfort of this small box that I'm in. So, I mean, the thing is like, Alex is so distracted, and every other player in the house is distracted by these gumpy potatoes, and they can't see the forest through the trees. So this
run,
little
forest.
I will say to plug my own show here, the challenge this season is all about revenge, and we see these players coming in with these little revenge plots. Oh, you threw me in, so I'm after you. And they're not going after the big fish; they're going after these little tiny vendettas that don't mean anything. And that's what's happening here. Like, Alex is so comfortable and so trusting in Paul's friendship, which I agree, Brent, is completely bullshit and ridiculous. Oh, sorry, ridiculous. And she can't, she's just so distracted, like, by her little fake vendettas, just like Jess was, honestly, with Alex. And it's just very, very frustrating.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about Raven, because, Brent, the thing that I thought could happen with Raven, I do believe that they are starting to give us on the
show. They're on board the train, Rob.
Yes. We are getting the Raven exposed party, but we're getting the version of, isn't this fun? Isn't this cute? This is her thing, that she's a hypochondriac.
Well, I think it's sort of telling that they're showing us this for two reasons. Number one, I think they just can't not show it to us. But two, the bigger thing to me is that they don't have anything else to show. Like, there's no real drama because Paul has his hands in everything, and he has everything set up so perfectly that they run out of story. Mm-hmm. That's why we got so much fluff tonight.
Oh, I knew that this was going in this direction when they played the full opening credits tonight. I think that you could tell going into the show. If you see the credits in the first 5 minutes of the episode, you know that they don't have a lot.
See, I think if I'm scheduled to appear, you know they don't have a lot.
Well, we don't know that.
Come on,
when
we got
shows.
A great episode tonight.
Stop it. Yeah.
Sorry, I jumped in.
You know, because the rough kneecap syndrome. I mean, that was like from what, 3 weeks ago?
Maybe two.
Maybe
it seems
two
like
weeks.
It,
maybe
it's
two
been,
weeks
it's,
ago.
It's like a. It's like passing a stone every week now, Rob.
But don't, she might have that as well.
Yeah.
So rough kneecap syndrome. I was watching a clip of that. Raven had relatives that were on the Titanic. Allie, did you know this?
Oh my God, no! But I'm not surprised at all. I mean, you know. I just don't even know what to say anymore about Raven, because I was not a part of the initial Raven exposed party where people were talking about her illness and all of that. Like, I was like, that's not for me to talk about. I was kind of with you, Rob, sort of avoiding that. But when the show gets involved, you know it's bad. I mean, I couldn't believe last week when we got that package, and now I feel like they're the GPA in dance. I mean, at this point, like, the show's in on it. How could we not be?
Yeah. You know, I bet when Forrest Gump sat at that bus stop and talked about all of the amazing things that happened to him, I bet people didn't believe him either, Brent.
I love that you're tying everything in with that. And I watched that movie like at least six times.
Sure.
And I barely, even though I barely remember it now. But yes, I do think that it's sort of fun to me that the house guests feel free to laugh at her now, because they've even talked about it. Whereas, like, you know, they're asking each other, well, what's real? Where is the line as far as reality and what is fiction? But they do know that something about the Titanic is something where they can just openly mock and laugh at her, which of course we have all been doing on the outside since basically the beginning of the season, and now they're finally catching up with us. So I can only imagine where the next 3 weeks are going to go, because I can't imagine it's going to be very fun if you're a Raven fan.
I usually do tireless prep for these podcasts, and I completely missed the boat by not rewatching Forrest Gump today.
Yes.
I feel so unprepared.
Forrest Gump also invested heavily in Apple, which was a key part of the Den of Temptation. So another similarity between...
Allie, I cannot believe that they spent this much time on that stupid tree. Like, it's not even part of the narrative right now. I can't. Why? I'm like, Matt, why are you talking about
these poor editors? Honestly, I just felt complete sympathy for the people who have to edit this show, because when they did the commercial lead-ups, one of them was, will the first player in the Power Veto competition, or in the HOH competition, throw it? That was like the big suspenseful moment in the first one. And then going to the second one was, clearly if Jason was going to take the apple, they wouldn't have shown him walking into the diary room, which they barely even showed Mark doing when he took the apple. They would have showed him opening it up. What is it? So it was just like these poor people who are in charge of building suspense here. I mean, my heart goes out to them.
What were you trying to do?
Yeah. One other thing on Raven also that I thought we got to see a lot of her talking about how, oh, me and Paul now are final two now that Matt's gone. She described her relationship with Paul in a unique way, which I've not heard before. This is how she described her close relationship with Paul.
Paul is my butty-butty.
Paul is my butty-butty.
I call the guy that wants my butty-buddy. I don't know.
Paul is my butty-butty.
What's his name, Paul? You didn't have rough kneecap syndrome after, did you?
Look,
that wasn't on the Taryn Show interview.
Yes.
Right? I know we want to have fun with Raven about this, but I honestly say to you in all seriousness that Paul did some really good work here. Like, the fact that he is giving her what she needs, like, he knows that now she's with him, like, totally, because he always talked about this. Yeah, I'm gonna be the third to every pair, and whatever pair gets broken up first, I'm gonna become the ride or die with that person, and they're gonna be all in with me. And she is. And he also gave her, like, the physical contact, the fact that he was hugging her and touched her cheek and kissed her on the forehead. Those are things that make Raven feel like a star. Whoa. And you know she wants that. So she's all in on Paven. Yeah. Can't even believe I'm saying that.
In this light night on the show, we also got to see Christmas continuing her workout. And Allie, I have to say that I'm very impressed with Christmas. You know, a couple weeks ago, I said, boy, it's amazing that she really hasn't let herself go, that she's had this knee broken. I know that if I had like a hangnail, I'd be like, can't exercise today. That's it. But it's very impressive what she's been able to do.
I honestly thought this was I think I tweeted it, that this was like the perfect episode for me to podcast about, until I saw the fitness package, in which case I have absolutely nothing but shame for myself to add. No, Chris, I don't know what she was doing when she was like caressing her body, talking to it, saying she's mistreated it.
She was talking to her stomach. Did she call it? She was talking to her body.
Yes, she was talking to her body, Allie, saying, it's nice to see you again, and caressing it and making it feel good. And I mean, it was like I was watching a little something-something on the TV.
I mean, willing to do to be in shape. So, like, if I just have to talk to my body and say hello every morning, like, that I can 100% manage.
Yes, okay. That's very important to have a good social game with yourself in terms of exercising. Very, very important. But, no, very, very impressive what Christmas has been able to do. Let's take some questions here, and then we'll talk about the live feeds. Hashtag RHAP. And why don't we start off with Purple Mario. I want to know if Christmas's scooter is that squeaky, if the sound editors are bored with this season as we are. I don't think that's not Ian's hammock, Brent.
No, it's not Ian's hammock. I mean, they're definitely adding in the sound effects, you guys. If you didn't notice, they added in the robot sound effects for Cody previously in the season when he was turning his head. So, and they even did a little bit of when Christmas was backing up on the scooter, they did the, like that when a truck beep, backs up. So, beep, right. Beep. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So they're definitely having a little fun, which I am grateful for, because it's supposed to be a fun show.
Okay. Should I also do a truck impression? I feel like I missed out.
What do you got?
I would do with the George Costanza. Boop, boop, boop. Back it up.
What are we doing here? What is that? Kelly Lynch says, did Paul cast all these people? Yeah. Did they have Paul in casting? Is that possible, Allie? Where he's like, okay, what are you here for? All right, tell me, how are you going to play the game?
Well, I definitely buy. I've been listening to all of basically anything that you or the LFC touches. I've been listening to this season. So I don't remember which podcast they talked about this, but apparently, like Jessica said, she was a really big RHAP fan. This might have been Randy. But like, I really do believe that they asked in casting, like, what do you think of Paul? And if you didn't like Paul or would be an adversary to Paul, you know, you could either not know who Paul was and then they would show you, or you could be a huge fan of Paul. If you're not an anti-Paul person, you were not put on this season.
What about Cody?
Well, he didn't know who Paul was till they showed him, right? That was the...
I thought he did know. Brent, what about, what did Cody, because he talked about like, I didn't like this guy last season.
Yeah, and I think he also, either he watched the show in, I think he watched the show because he's a fan and he's applied and he was trying to get on, I think, Survivor as well. So I think he's definitely a fan of
Fine.
Big Brother because he yeah. watched the show last season and said, you know, if you watch the guy play last season, he didn't get to the end by loyalty. That's for damn sure. He kind of did as far as Victor goes. But as far as everybody else, he was totally fine screwing them over.
Brent, I want to ask a question. I was thinking about this today. I feel like that going back to last summer, I feel like that people didn't like BB18. I feel like that people were down about BB18, and I feel like that people were saying that it was not a good season, but I can't remember why. In hindsight, it feels like it was a really good season.
In hindsight, it feels like it was a freaking phenomenal season.
It was
like,
the best season of the show.
We had blindsides. We had people getting, you know, put on the block who weren't expecting it. Who there were, you know, people weren't feeling like they had to backdoor everybody. We had like the guy crying at butterflies, and how cool was that? We had Davon giving the business in the jury house. Like, you know, I mean, BB18 was everything. I think I soured on BB18 toward the end because it was Nicole at the end who I couldn't really stand, and I didn't really respect her game very much. No offense,
yeah.
But I was rooting for Paul and. And then this season, I got my wish, more of Paul. And, I guess it's be careful what you wish for.
People saying the care packages, Allie. That's what did it in.
Yeah, I mean, which like Paul had a big fat care package for the first 3 weeks of the game. I think what it is like you need people who are rivals in the house to sustain it. Like when Jody was in the house, at least like I had interest every week, and I'm not a aggressive live feeder, so I was enjoying these episodes, but now at this point it's just a slog. I think we talk about this, Brian and I talk about this on the challenge all the time, like you can't just have one person running their way to the end, and then I guess it will be satisfying if Paul wins, but at what cost? Like, I'm exhausted 72 days into the season.
Allie, that's a good point you bring up, that you and Brian do a great job covering the challenge. That how do they deal with that, where it's like, okay, Johnny Bananas is basically deciding what's going to happen next? I mean, how does that show deal with situations like this?
Yeah, so in those seasons, it's kind of just like this. In this season, there's a noticeable change in casting where the male side, at least of the card with Bananas, are all really extremely power players and a super athletic. And there's a healthy dose of the new people they keep trying to cycle in. So they basically make it, this season have made it chock full of athletic threats who can stand up to Bananas, where he's not just like Paul, who can win all of the challenges or convince them to take out the other male threats who could win the challenges. They're not able to do that this season on the challenge.
Okay. Let's take a question from Andres. Odd how Christmas was cleared to compete in a physical HOH comp. Brent, did that strike you as odd that they let her participate in this challenge?
I think, honest to God, that they would never, ever have let her compete in this challenge if they didn't know what was going to happen already. I think this was Big Brother playing a little games. I think they knew that Paul had everything lined up, and they thought this would be a historic moment. I think it's, like, laughable. I mean, I even tweeted at Big Brother, that's some scintillating television you're producing there by having everybody just fall out of a competition. You know, Taryn always says, you know, he
Sick
doesn't
burn.
Watch Big Brother for the competitions. And I'm like, well, this is what you get, bitch, when nobody is competing. This is the kind of television that you get when no one cares about the competitions whatsoever. So I don't know how she was cleared to compete. I think they just knew that there was a very high probability that Paul's plan was going to be able to be pulled off. And they like the craziness of Christmas winning a running competition. And also the fact that if Christmas is the outgoing HOH going into next week, then they can do whatever they want for the competition the following week without having to say, Christmas, you have to sit out. So I feel like that's why they did it.
Yeah. And we have the double eviction coming up on Thursday, which we have not talked much about since we found that out on Thursday. So we can speculate a little bit more of that in the spoiler segment. Something I don't understand about this Ready, Set, Veto competition. What I don't understand is why are there five, not that anybody got to the finish line, but why are there five buttons on the finish line and you could press any of them, Allie? Does that make any sense?
Brent looks like he has something to say to this. So can I punt to Brent? Because I was ready. The rant I was waiting for from Brent is why Christmas was cleared to play in this challenge.
Yes.
I don't even think she should have been cleared to be in the starting position. She was like on all fours when she started. She couldn't even be in the holster. But I defer to Brent on the buttons.
Yeah, Rob, if you go back to the previous times they've run this, actually, I watched it just so I could know actually what I was looking for, because I swear there was a button for the foot as well as the two hands, and I wanted to see if they removed it just to help Christmas out. Actually, there wasn't. I just wasn't remembering correctly. So my memory is obviously shot, but what is not shot about my memory is the fact that I remember that they let you choose whatever button to press when you're running down the lane. But after that leg takes place, that button is covered, and so the next time you have to choose a new button. So you just have to strategically decide where you want to hit the button, and then whatever button you choose is covered up for the next time. Of course, they never even got to that.
Yeah, Paul didn't plan that far ahead of what button everybody should push if they actually ran a leg of this race.
I'm sure he would have, though, Rob. Yes.
Can I ask you a question about this? And I'm not one to normally say, like, production setup or whatever, but how do they draw spots here? Because it seemed to me pretty convenient that Paul is flanked by Kevin and Alex, the two people he needs to convince subtly to throw while he's in the challenge.
That's a good point.
Yeah, Allie, I don't know what you're talking about here. Like, take off your damn tinfoil hat. I mean, like, this is all in the up and up. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the Brent I know.
Okay. I mean, what do you want me to say? I mean, like, all I can say is that they don't seem to really care much about the competitions. Like, I look to that week that there was all of this great tension in the house, and they had a damn putt-putt competition that, like, literally had no drama in it whatsoever. No, there was nothing there, and they could have had so much great
human
emotion. It was
hell week, Brent.
Yeah. So they don't care at all. I don't think they care enough to rig a competition like this. I really don't.
Okay. This is from Ian. He says, I'm pretty sure that Jason and Alex will campaign against each other if the veto isn't used. Is this game about to get blown up? Okay, well, let's touch on we'll talk about the veto and everything going on there when we get to the live feeds. Let's take one more question when we talk live feeds. If we have one, maybe we don't. Okay. This one. While talking to Paul, Alex says, if you don't want to scare Kevin, you put up Josh. Does Alex not know that? Does Alex know Paul's not HOH? Yeah, I did think this was an idiotic thing for her to say, like to try to say, oh, that'll really get Kevin convinced because Christmas would put Josh on the block. What? Why would that be something convincing that Christmas would put her ally on the block?
I mean, Allie, they are just so snowed. I mean, they think that Josh is with them. They have no real read on how they're terrible when it comes to reading the room. They just have no real clear vision of where the pieces are on the chessboard at this point.
Yeah, it's really not good. Okay, let's go ahead and dive into our live feeds from over the weekend. We'll talk about the veto and everything going on there on our live feed segment. So let's dive into that.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Okay. All right.
Sorry, I was just staring there blankly while that was happening because I always wanted to know if you press the taboo buzzer or if that's also in the song. So now I just found out. I'm a listener, not a watcher.
It might be in the song, but I will also manually.
It's in the song, and he does it. Yes.
Okay. All right. So let's talk about the big weekend in the Big Brother house, Brent. And we had our veto ceremony, our veto competition, and what happened with our veto?
Paul is the winner of the power of veto. Congratulations, Paul.
Yes, and what a contrived plan we are working on now. If you thought that the plan
right.
from the people that brought you throwing the HOH competition comes the ultimate contrived using the veto ceremony. Well, I don't know why I'm talking in the Den of Temptation voice.
No, I'm with you on this. Just when you thought it was so ridiculous before that they wouldn't believe this, Paul has come up with this. You know, every time you think Paul's going to have to draw the line now, he's going to have to be exposed, he's going to have to be caught, he's going to have to show his cards to somebody. Not so much. He has come up with a brilliant plan that will allow him to look like the good guy, to look totally flabbergasted when Jason goes home on Thursday night, and for him to be able to stay out of the line of fire while other people willingly take on the fire and the heat for themselves. He has somehow convinced Christmas and Josh will have something to say about it, but right now in the story, right after the veto, the plan is, you know what, let's you, because they were thinking about not using the veto, and they're like, now let's use the veto, let's take Alex down. So we're going to take Alex down because we know we're going to keep her. Let's pull her in. Me and Alex will vote to save Jason. Raven and Josh will vote to evict Jason, and then Christmas can be the tiebreaker, send him home, and then Paul still has Alex, and then they are good to go. Obviously, I have problems with this plan, but I think there are some pros, and we can discuss it.
Yeah. I watched some of Christmas and Josh talking about this, and Josh has the most reservations about this, but hearing Christmas explain the upside of this for them is that, okay, well, Paul can still control Alex rather than have Alex become completely scorned against that group. And potentially, if she wins the next HOH, putting up some combination of Paul and Christmas and Josh onto the block, two of those three, where they can't get themselves off. Whereas if Paul is still working with her, that a worst case scenario, if she wins the HOH, she can still put Kevin on the block, and Kevin would potentially, or she could put Kevin up with somebody, and then they can vote Kevin out instead of one of them. Do I have that right, Brent?
Yes, you have that right. I will say really quickly that there is one thing that they haven't mentioned, and I feel like it needs to be brought up. You know, Rob, you've correctly pointed out that it's maybe beneficial for Christmas and Josh to want to keep Paul, because really, that's the if they don't keep Paul and Paul somehow got evicted, there's a very little chance that Christmas and Josh are going to get to the end. It becomes very important at Final Six and beyond, not only who you put on the block, but who you leave off the block. Because at Final Six, let's say Alex gets HOH, if she feels scorned and she puts Christmas and Josh, you were the guys who caused Jason to go home, I'm going to put you two on the block. Paul is off the block at that point. If he's able to win the veto, he can take one of them down, and then they control the numbers for who goes home, thus saving all three of them. So it actually is in the group's best interest to make sure that Paul is off the block for this coming week and out of the line of fire of Alex if she should happen to get HOH. It's just that the side ramifications of it is that it also protects Paul heavily, and that's the part that Josh doesn't like.
And on top of that, Paul would like to see Alex be the next person to go out after Jason, correct?
That's correct. And he is willing, I believe, to win HOH, but Josh is not convinced of that. Josh is convinced that Paul wants Josh to win HOH, take the shot at Alex, so again, Paul can skate away squeaky clean. And Josh has about had it up to here with Paul at this point, and we can get on to that.
Yeah. And the real problem, I think, for Christmas and for Josh is going to be when it gets down to the final five, and Paul is going to look at them as a pair that needs to get broken up, and then he's going to say to them, okay, Raven just won HOH, but you guys need to go up on the block as pawns so we can vote Kevin out. We'll blindside him. That's going to be, I think, the big sticking point for them.
Yeah, I don't know, though, because I was listening to them today talk, and Paul seems pretty convinced that Raven would have some jury votes. I don't know if he was just, you know, because I know he was talking to other people when he was saying that, but I do believe that he thinks that Raven, given her knee issues, and I don't know when in reality
knee
television...
Knee issues, Brent. She has rough knee syndrome.
Good one. Yes, but they are worried about her knee issues, and again, I don't know when in the history of reality television someone has ever won any money based on knee. I don't know if it's ever happened, actually, but they are very worried about it. So they are more concerned about getting rid of Raven at this point. And even though I think Paul knows that Raven is in his back pocket, I think he fears her more as a competitor and as a potential jury threat.
Let me ask you about Kevin. How have they sold this to Kevin in terms of, okay, Kevin, you're going to, I bet, is he in the loop on this plan of, okay, I'm gonna use DeVito. I'm gonna take that, Alex. You're gonna go on the block. Don't worry, you're safe.
He is in on the plan, but he is not in on the plan so much as he likes the plan. He does not want Paul to use DeVito tomorrow. He doesn't understand. Like, if you're gonna send one of them home anyway, why not just not use DeVito? Why do you have to put me up? He doesn't really see the bigger picture, and unfortunately, he's not really a fan of the show. So his mind, and I say this with all due respect to Kevin and Kevin's family, like his mind does not allow him to think outside the box of what is really happening and what the true plans could be and why they might want to put you up as a fake pawn and or a fake target, I guess, and fool Alex and Jason going into eviction night. He doesn't seem to really articulate or verbalize that, and that's sort of disappointing.
Now, Allie, this Wednesday night when we see the veto competition, we will see that there was a celebrity cameo in the house to host this veto competition. Will you be excited to see Bobby Moynihan enter the Big Brother house?
Yeah, I definitely haven't had me, myself, and I promoted enough pushed down my throat. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Yes, I'm very excited that I felt like that this was coming, Brent, that Bobby Moynihan is a big, Big Brother fan. And you knew that they were going to promote one of these CBS fall shows. They might be promoting one or two more before we get there. We all remember the MacGyver veto competition from last season. So it made too much sense to not have Bobby Moynihan come in.
Yeah, I was hoping for young Sheldon, but I'll be okay with this one, actually. At least I didn't have to hear Josh during the veto competition yelling at everybody like he does in the diary room every time.
Yeah, okay. Then, Brent, any other highlights from the weekend?
I thought you were going to go to Allie. I put a piece of candy in my mouth.
Okay. Allie, what candy do you think Brent is eating?
I mean, I'm not that inept at talking about live feeds that you'd have to ask me what candy Brent's crushing over there.
Yes.
I had gummy
Sugar
lifesavers.
Crush.
Yes. What I was going to tell you is that Josh, God love him, has gotten progressively more and more irritated with the fact that Paul is trying to have it both ways, is trying to have his cake and eat it too. He has talked to Christmas about it. Christmas, obviously, like I said previously, not really listening to Josh, but he has continued to beat the drum. I'm talking about Josh as far as, you know, well, why does Paul even have to use the veto tomorrow? Like, why can't Paul just not use the veto tomorrow? And then he'll be drawing a clear line in the sand, and we're all in this together. But then at one point in the narrative earlier today, Paul, you know, talked to Josh, and he said, so, you know, do you not want me to use the veto tomorrow? And Josh is like, no, you have to use it. So Josh is he's very passive-aggressive with his whole, like, talking to Paul. Like, he's scared of Paul. He doesn't want to piss him off. But then later on this evening, him and Paul got into a discussion, and got to the point where Josh was like, I want to discuss this plan to not use the veto tomorrow. And Paul is like, look, we're not discussing it now. I know what you're going to say, and your plan won't work. Like, he's basically shutting him down. And Josh is many things, but he does not suffer fools like that. So I think that this little seed could sprout into something. I'm hoping
we'll
by the
see.
End of the week.
Yeah, Allie, I think that Josh in this Big Brother house is a little bit like the movie Get Out. Like, it's half an hour in. It's like, isn't this weird that this always happens here? Like, well, no, why are you talking about that? That's not weird. Why do you bring that up?
I want to float something by you guys, because maybe I'm just insane, but I've been known for bringing insane things to this podcast before. So, apparently, I just want to take credit for being the first one in on Ken. Anyway,
I remember you throwing shade at Chi-Chi Rodriguez, or Chi-Chi Devane, sorry,
yes.
On RuPaul's Drag Race with Rob, and then she made it to the final four. Anyway,
the ultimate shade is forgetting her name, isn't it? So,
right? I know.
my thing is, the only way I really get frustrated with, and this happened with Jason and Alex too, with what's now happening with Chris and Paul, I don't understand why you would let your quote-unquote closest ally deny knowledge, and I understand the whole pitch that Christmas is now giving Paul give to Christmas, but I agree that with Josh's frustrations about wanting Paul to draw a line, the only way that this makes sense to me for Christmas and Josh is if, and they're not, but if they were planning to weaponize Alex down the road and use this against Alex, against Paul, and say, go to Alex as the only hope to get Paul out if they could see that they have no chance of beating Paul at the end, and saying to her, Paul was completely in on this. Let's call him. Let's do a Paul complete house meeting. Here's all the information we had, and we let him do this just like he's been doing to you. Because Paul's doing all of this in the open, making all of these deals. So do you think there'd be a chance that that would work, or just fan fiction?
Well, it wouldn't work. First of all, they would never do it. I just never believe that Christmas would be on board with something like that. Second of all, even if they told Alex, I mean, you could literally go up to Alex and say, honey, the sun rises in the west, even though it comes up in the east every flipping day. And if Paul told her that the sun rises in the west, she'd be like, oh, okay, dude, yeah, the sun rises in the west. I totally see what you're saying now. Like, I mean, she is that dumb. And I don't say that lightly. She is the stupidest house guest in the history of Big Brother. And that is a very high bar. Somehow she is able to surmount it. It is absolutely incredible. I don't understand it. Earlier, by the way, Rob, I wanted to tell you this too. Josh, in his annoyance at Paul, he's actually more concerned about the fact that Paul is locking in jury votes. And Christmas said the most stunning thing I've ever heard someone say. Like, she said to Josh, so, Josh, are you more concerned about locking in jury votes, or are you more concerned about winning the game? They're the same thing. What are you talking about? I don't know. Allie, I can't with these people.
Can that be the next Big Jeff question in an interview? You know, would you,
Brent,
rather?
You're reaching like mad
what
levels.
What are you trying to do?
Yeah,
I know, right?
Yeah.
Oh! Would you rather lock in jury votes or win the game? I want to see how it gets confronted with that question.
Would you rather get your ass kicked by a giant jury, or would you rather lose the game by a number of votes at one time, or be fine with Paul winning the game and continuing this current trajectory?
Maybe they're comfortable with the relationship they already have with the jury.
With jurors. Yeah.
Well, the one thing that I was not really previously, like, I guess maybe I sort of like closed my eyes to the fact that someone could actually think this, and listening to Taryn on the update show actually like opened my eyes, and I'm like, actually, that's kind of a possibility, is the fact that maybe Christmas doesn't think she can win the game at this point. Maybe she's not just saying that. Like, she literally believes, you know what? I can't win the game. I want my two boys to go to the end. I'm fine bowing out at three. I want Josh and Paul to get to the end.
Why does she feel that way? Why does she feel she can't win?
I think she feels like that she's been handed everything. And by the way, I was like, throw shade at her for this HOH competition. She's all concerned about the way Josh throws it. Like, I mean,
it has,
like,
to be believable. Nobody will buy this.
I know, right? It has to be believable. Like, I don't know. Like, you don't. I mean, like, there has to be a way that a person with one foot can actually beat an able-bodied guy who's in his early 20s. Like, there has to be a way for this to happen. Like, yeah. Whatever. Anyway, like, it's just craziness, Rob. It's absolutely Looneyville.
All right, let's take some more questions. This is from Murray. What did Kevin do to Alex to make her so mean to him? Short answer is nothing, right, Brent? Right?
Nothing. He's done absolutely nothing. Yeah. I mean, seriously, it is the one, my one issue, and I know that the chat room will be with me on this, is that they...
Don't pander to them, Brent. Don't do it.
The Big Brother refuses to show Alex for what she is. I can't even call her on rap what I want to call her. She is so mean to Kevin, and it is so outside the bounds of normal civilized society, and I'm used to seeing uncivilized things on Big Brother, but she is absolutely and utterly mean to him. I am so sick of this cute little funsy edit of Alex on the TV show when she is a complete and utter horrible bitch to Kevin on the show, on the live feeds, every flipping day. She's absolutely obsessed with him. She says about the meanest things to him. She makes fun of him to his face, and he's done absolutely nothing to her. Whatever. Anyway, whatever. I'll stop.
Yeah. Nope. She definitely owes the editors at least some sort of a cookie basket at the end of the season.
Yeah, and we're not going to get it either. We've got one more episode and then the double eviction, and odds are she's going to go in the double eviction unless she wins the HOH. So... whatever. We're not gonna get our pound of flesh with Alex.
Okay. This is from Shakespeare 527. So can Christmas now put weight on her foot, and how might that affect Brent's theory that she would lose the final three comps? All right, Brent, how about this? Now we saw her compete in this physical challenge.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Do you think that she could compete in a final three challenge?
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you see her put any weight on that foot? Because I didn't. I saw her hop down the goddamn lane the whole way like she was actual runner. Like when she said she was going to compete on one foot, that's exactly what she did. They wouldn't even let her put weight on the booted foot. So, girl, bye. She's still not going to be able to compete in part one and part two.
Credit to her, though. That was pretty impressive hopping. She, like, moved. I actually didn't think she would have automatically lost to every single person. Sorry.
Now, Brent, that in terms of the part one of the endurance competition, there's none of them that she could be competing in? Or
is I have not she, found anything.
Because she can't
back,
get the thing wet? Is that what the biggest issue
yes.
is?
Exactly. I have not found anything in the history of Big Brother that would allow her to compete. And she also, usually, like, you're hanging on to something and you would fall onto the mat. She can't even do that.
Right.
Like, there's no way that she, or, you know, like on Big Brother 8 when they were standing on the stump, or when in Big Brother 10 when they were on the airplanes. I mean, you're always going to fall onto a mat or into a vat of something, and she can't do that.
Yeah, that's tricky. All right. Johnny DeSilvera, where does the Tree of Temptation rank among the worst BB twists ever? Allie, do you have it in the pantheon of the worst Big Brother twists?
I agree. Actually, Terrence said something on one of the recaps that a good twist in his eyes is one that's not used. So I would put this like towards the top, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, Brent, it didn't screw anything up.
Yeah, but they insist on spending so much time on it. Like, I really wish they wouldn't have even
they
brought it up tonight.
They had nothing but time.
I guess.
That's the only reason.
I guess. I don't know. If you're going to introduce a twist, they don't know how to do the twist. They need somebody like me or Taryn on the show to help them understand why this twist failed. It failed because you put negative consequences onto the tree and forced people to pick it out in the open. If you're going to force house guests to openly do it in front of everybody where everybody knows and then they can become a target, you have to make everything on the tree positive. That way it will encourage people to take something.
To give a real answer, I still think the get ready for a takeover, besides being the...
Get ready for
what?
A takeover!
Wait! Hold on!
What? Besides being the best drop, I mean, that had to be the worst. I mean, I don't know if that's a twist or a theme to the season.
Yeah, no, that was
horrific.
The worst because that was a theme to the... Maybe Saboteur might have been the worst because it only took like three episodes of the show for it to be completely fizzled out. And the voice was stupid and everything was dumb about it. But Get Ready for a Takeover was just like the most ill-thought-out thing that they came up with.
And they didn't even tell us it was over. That was the best part of the takeover to me was it just went away. Like they didn't even like week four came and they didn't even bring it up. It was like what takeover?
They didn't have a person to do it anymore.
Right.
Yeah,
right. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. This is from Edmo, who says, when is the best and most realistic time for Paul to cut Josh? Okay. Brent, I was saying the final five could be the spot where Christmas and Josh gets broken up. What is Paul thinking? Do we know?
I don't know, and I would love to know. I wish he would talk to the cameras and tell us what his true intentions are. I still think that he is afraid of Raven, that he will take Raven out at five if he can. I think he will take Kevin to the final four. I think he will cut Christmas at three and take Josh to the final two. That is my read on where things are. I think he thinks that Josh is a laughing stock, that Josh hasn't made relationships with the jury. The thing is, though, that Raven is aware that Josh is a viable jury threat, and I was scared when I heard that, because if Raven's thinking that, I have to believe at some point Paul is going to at least examine the possibility that, you know what, maybe this isn't the person that I want to take with me to the end. Maybe Christmas looks like a more inviting option. On the other hand, Christmas has generally good relationships with people. She can be a bitch sometimes, but she does have generally good relationships with people, and they all know that she was a real feisty woman even before she hurt her foot and she came back from that, so he may be afraid of that story as well. Look, after being burned in the final two last year, after having complete control and taking Nicole, even though he won't admit that was a mistake, he does not want to make the same mistake again this year. So I think he will think long and hard about who he takes to the final two.
Can I ask, and this is my ignorance, but is the Temptation Island that currently is the jury house right now, are they going to vote for Josh? Is Josh really a jury threat?
I mean, I think he loses. I think that Josh loses against Paul. I think he loses against Paul. But I do think that Josh could cut Paul, and I don't think that Paul really sees that yet, even after the events of today, where Paul knows that Josh is freaking out a little bit.
Now, don't you think that Josh could be a dangerous person for Paul to send to that jury house? I do think that he's somebody who knows where most of these bodies are buried, and I think that he could light up that jury house and come in, and then when they're all saying, like, oh, no, Paul tried to save me, he's like, really? You think right? Paul was trying to save you? You just played yourself. Tell everybody
what's
going on.
That's funny that you should bring that up, because that was actually one of the solutions that Josh came up with today, and I don't know if he's eventually going to go through with it, but he's very concerned about Paul locking in jury votes, so he wants to make sure to tell people the real story on their way out the door. He wants to lock in his goodbye message to tell people, look, you got played by Paul. Paul was behind all of this, just so you know, and I'm here to tell you, you've been had. So I'm hoping that on Thursday we get Paul with his lovely goodbye message about put a good word in for me with jury, man, and, you know, appreciate it. And then Josh right behind him saying, dude, Paul totally snowed you. He was in on it the whole time. You've been had. And see what Julie has to say to Jason.
And production says cutting room floor for that. Yeah, forget about that idea. Boy, no, for Josh, for Paul, as Raven's relatives once heard, iceberg right ahead, Allie.
All aboard, I mean.
Yeah. I'll tell you, Raven did not have the nicest thing to say for the captain of the Titanic, that she had some really choice words for him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, did not that. Apparently, he was a shady guy, Brent.
I guess, yes. He might have not been looking where he was going. But the thing that I wanted to say quickly about Josh and his plan for the goodbye message is, if he goes through it, my one problem with it is that he told Christmas about it. Like, if you're going to do this, don't tell anybody about it. Just go to the diary room and tell what you need to say in your goodbye message and make it solely about nothing except what you are wanting to get across. That way they can't edit around you. And truth be told, I'd have to ask Steve Moses or Ian this, but I think that even though on the show they only play part of the goodbye messages, I think when you get to jury, you get to see every goodbye message in its entirety. So it wouldn't even matter if they edited
really?
It.
Really? I've never heard that before.
I believe that that's true. Maybe the chat room can confirm.
Yeah, why would you ask the two guys that won? They don't know anything about the jury house.
Well, they could, but they recorded goodbye messages, so I'm pretty sure.
Everybody recorded them, but they don't know what got seen.
I'm pretty sure. I know Brendan and Rachel, they watch RHAP, so I'm pretty sure that when you record your goodbye message, that they show you an edited version for the show, but then when you go to jury, you get that little CD that has all of your goodbye messages on them.
Can you email that to Grodner this week?
Yeah, you can ask her that.
Yes, ask her that. Yeah, Brendan, when you're watching the show tonight, let us know. Okay, that Survivor guy says, if Paul loses in the final two again, is the game flawed? Allie, is there an issue with the game if Paul doesn't win?
I'm of the opinion that whoever's the winner is the winner.
No, that's not right.
I will say that if there is a situation where this ends and someone besides Paul wins, I'd like to watch those episodes that lead up to it, because I would be shocked. I don't even think there's a prayer for that.
I mean, the only place that I can see Paul going home is Final Three, and that's at the hand of Josh and no one else. So there's literally one way that Paul can lose Big Brother, because I think if he makes the Final Two, he's going to win. I really don't think the jury...
You thought that Josh would beat him in a Final Two?
I've never said that. No, I think Paul would beat Josh in a Final Two if they were at the end together. I think that there have been people on Rap who have argued that maybe Josh could win against a bitter jury, but I think that a bitter jury is more than likely to vote against Josh as well anyway. I don't think they're necessarily going to hold it. Like, I don't think they're going to hold Paul accountable for everything that happened in the house, even though it really is all his doing.
Okay. This is from Mr. Robot Taren, who's really has some amazing gifts out there. Is the Ready, Set, Go competition broken, or was this a unique situation? Brent, has it always been an HOH competition?
No, last season it was a veto competition. This was the episode where Davon was the replacement nominee. Pauly was put up on the block by Paul, ironically, and Pauly won the Ready, Set, Whoa competition against Victor in the final two, and it was actually a real race, and then Pauly took himself off the block, Davon went up on the block, Davon went home. That's what happened. So it was a veto competition.
You really watched the whole episode.
I did.
This season is broken more than any of the individual challenges, I would say.
I agree.
The challenge is fine. It's just that in a regular season that there won't be one person telling everybody what to do and when to lose. That's really the, other than having it be like some roulette wheel to decide the HOH.
That's then, what we need.
See, Brett, you're always complaining about like, oh, these random competitions. Like that's what we actually need those to make there be some variance that nobody can throw it.
Well, I it's because, you know, you always want what you can't have, and now I'm getting exactly, what I didn't want, which was, like, everybody, like, all in on the plan, doing exactly what Paul tells them to do, so now I'm begging for some variance, where a couple weeks ago, I couldn't stand it, and I couldn't believe that they had it as an actual competition.
Okay. This is from Katanga. Should producers have flashed go sooner during the competition to make things interesting, or is it better TV to enable Paul's plan? Brent, you're like, are you congratulating yourself?
I'm saying I thought the same damn thing. I think the producers were in on this. They knew. They would have showed like 20 minutes worth of words to make sure that Paul's plan played out exactly the way so they could say this is a historic moment on Big Brother, and they get the absolute idiocy of someone with a broken leg winning a sprinting competition. That's what they wanted.
But then where is the producers don't care enough about the challenges? Because that would support him being flanked by Alex and Kevin.
I don't think they care that much.
Yeah. Whatever it is to make the theory work, Allie. Okay. A couple more questions. Johnny DeSilvera says, was there any talk on the feeds why Christmas was allowed to compete in this HOH competition? What's the procedure here, Brent? Does she know ahead of time where we've talked to the doctors, you're going to be able to compete in the next HOH, or does she just walk out in the backyard and they let her know?
No, I mean, the problem is that the feeds always go down, so we never know. I've never, ever seen her know ahead of time. Usually, it's my understanding that she finds out at the time. Basically, they assume that she can compete in anything unless the doctor rules her out. So she walked into this competition. They didn't say anything about Christmas, and she was allowed to compete. Okay. What do you know?
All right. Harper Elizabeth, Josh is the only one doubting Paul. Why aren't we seeing that on the show? Brett, do you think that we will see that by Wednesday?
Well, Allie, Whistle is doubting Paul occasionally, but Alex is always there to bat away his suspicions. And I feel like left to his own devices, Jason actually does have a pretty good head for Big Brother. Like, he generally is aware that things aren't right, but he consistently goes to the worst people for advice or to the very person who's orchestrating his demise in Paul and asking, you know, do you think there's something going on? And of course, Paul's like, well, I don't know. I mean, I might be the one who's backdoored this week. And he's like, what? Like you, and he's like, well, if you use the veto, then I'll go up. And Jason's like, what? No, I can't let that happen. It just, again, total idiocy.
Okay. Let's do one more question if we have one.
Oh, we have a challenge theme question that just came up.
Okay, hold on. We're just stuck. Okay. Andrew Kirk says, who is going to double cross Paul if anyone does, Allie?
No one. I just love the reference to the challenge. Double cross the reference to the challenge. Yeah.
Is double cross, is that like some game mechanic or that's a term they throw around a lot?
So it's the new way they get into elimination. The four people up for elimination, men and women, however many there are, will draw either a single cross or a double cross, and that person will decide who goes in. It's very juicy. If you're tired of Big Brother, there's a juicy season of the challenge happening right now.
I might have to get on board. I've been saying I would not take on another reality show, but it's looking pretty good, Allie. I got to say.
Brent, if you watch, you are coming on the podcast in like 1 second after you finish the episode.
Okay,
check that out. Of course, you can hear Allie and Brian talk about the challenge Dirty 30. That's the name of the season.
Yeah. Barring from Survivor, I guess.
Wow. The 30th season of Survivor coming up. All right, let me tell you what else is coming up. 30th season of The Challenge, I should say. We have the Big Brother Overnight Update. We'll be back for Labor Day. No barbecuing for Taryn, that he will be back 10 a.m., 7 a.m. Pacific. Josh Wigler and I are going to be bringing you some previews and interviews with the new Survivor cast. We will be starting those. We'll have two per episode. We'll have three coming up this week. Look for those, I think, starting Wednesday this week.
So just to be clear, I'm sure there are people who have the same question as me.
Sure.
So you got to interview people who are on Survivor before the season. Like, when is this? When did the interview take place, and how does it happen?
Josh Wigler went to Fiji with a list of questions that I had. He recorded interviews about 10 minutes long with each of the 18 new Survivor contestants. I have not heard what he came back with yet.
We are going to listen
to those together, and I'm going to hear them for the first time when you guys hear them, and then react to what their answers were. So
very, very cool. I like that idea. Sorry, I've been moving all week, and I haven't been keeping up on what's been happening with RHAP.
And I understand the confusion, because Josh also is doing a podcast series, First One Out, which is a narrative first-person introduction to this cast that he also recorded on location in Fiji, where he is trying to discover which survivor might be the first one out based on meeting them and interacting with them over his time the days before the game started in Fiji.
Well, as long as it's not Cole, based on the picture that I just saw that flashed on RHAP.
We'll see. All right. Of course, LFC Roundtable is also going to be back. That is going to be coming up on Monday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. And then, Donnie Thompson is going to be back, Allie.
I love Donnie. I think I posted a Twitter poll recently, like, what was the worst fake scandal that, like, Donnie was, like, a genius and not actually a gardener or groundskeeper, or that Kevin isn't actually a stay-at-home dad. So I feel like I can't wait to hear what Donnie has to say about this train wreck.
Okay, Donnie Thompson coming up on Wednesday night on the podcast. So looking forward to that. Should be a lot of fun. Allie, do we have a hashtag tonight?
I have nothing besides Forrest Gumpy.
Forrest Gumpy.
I thought we were going to go with, like, rough need syndrome.
Yeah, that's fine.
Good.
The rough need syndrome. I was also going to pitch the new Raven catchphrase with Paul. The
Paul is my buddy.
Right. I'm still trying to get a job. I don't really want to be
that's fine. Butty,
associated
butty.
with no, any...
that's fine. Okay, so so rough need syndrome. And don't forget that, as I was just sent a tweet, it is September. It is Rough Knee Syndrome Awareness Month. And as it was just pointed out to me by... at Shari L. Phelps, be sure to wear your sandpaper ribbon for Rough Knee Syndrome Awareness Month, okay?
The prop I should have had.
Yes, all right. You can follow Allie on Twitter. She's at Lash Tweets. Brent is at One Lucky Gay. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. And make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Go to robiswebsite.com/iTunes. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.